Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And let's read together verses 10 through 12. Let's all stand, please. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. And we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Thank You for My Treasures. Jesus, thank you for my treasures. I'm here to let us know, to remind us, that we are not to grow weary and well-doing. And many of us have been walking on this path of grace through faith for many years. For me, it's been 30 years by the grace of God. I got saved when I was 30. And I will be 60 in December. So for 30 years, God has kept me. God is still molding and shaping me. Can I get an amen? He's still not done with me. And guess what? He's molding and shaping you, and he's not done with you. But I need you to understand what he has laid up for you. What he has prepared for you. Many of us who maybe be, I don't know, maybe some of you are retired, maybe some of you are about to retire, but some of you may have a nice little nest egg put aside. Some of you got a 401k, which is great. Some of you have a pension. Some of you are on Social Security. But let me just say this, the things that God has prepared for you and for me will pale in comparison to the things he has for you and I. But we're going to see that God is looking for faith. He's looking for motivation. He's looking for you to press. He's looking for us to walk in his ways so that these things are accumulated up there. For some of you who've been on the job for 40 years, 50 years, you've accumulated some things in life. Can I get amen? But the things here on earth will not last. They will be gone in one day, the day we leave. Whatever is yours will be gone in one day, in a moment of time. And so I need us to turn and read together Matthew 5, 10 through 12, and then we can be seated. Let's read. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Say that with me again. Great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, let's get this caption right up here. What difference does a future heaven make in my life? Let's read that again. What difference does a future heaven make in my life today? Listen, some of us, by the grace of God, we're trying to make ends meet in life. Some of us are living paycheck to paycheck. Some of us, if the paycheck stopped today, we could be homeless. Some of us right now are sitting back really nice for all the years that you've sowed into industries. But either way, those things are temporal in life because God wants us to focus primarily on the things that are eternity. That are eternal. It's the eternal things that God is interested in. Let's look at Colossians 3 and 1. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. The Word of God admonishes us to set our mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Why? Because these things on earth are temporal. They will be corroded. Did you know that sometimes, every now and then, you have to call a plumber? You got to call a roofer. Sometimes your car breaks down. All kinds of things happen in life where we have to what? Put on the brakes and say, oh my gosh, where's this coming to? Or where's the funds coming in to fix these things? Okay? And there's nothing wrong with having these things, but God is saying in the eternal aspect is to always, it's like this, keep that one eye up above and keep that one eye here on earth, but always keep your mind above. Why? Because we're not promised tomorrow. How many believe we're not promised tomorrow? You see, saints, wise travelers, they go through routine to prepare for what? Leaving home. Even if it's just to prepare for a weekend, to get away. How many of you just love to get away sometimes every weekend? Or once in a while you go away. Everyone does. It's refreshing, isn't it? It's kind of like resetting the button. Yet very few people ever take time to prepare for the ultimate journey to a distant land everyone will take. The journey I'm referring to, saints, is a one-way trip that will last for eternity. It's the journey every Christian will embark upon to that place. And what is it? The place is called heaven. It's called heaven. When's the last time you thought about heaven? A lot of us don't even think about it, because we're so consumed here on earth. But heaven is just a blink away. It's a blink away. And so, saints, many Christians do not consciously spend a lot of time thinking about heaven. Why? Perhaps you and I haven't either. Every now and then, I'll think about it. I think about it when I wake up. God, you've given me one more day. Hallelujah. Praise God, because if I didn't have waken up this morning, I'll be with you. Praise God. And so that's understandable, saints. The overwhelming responsibilities of living this world will eclipse much thought about living in the next world. And so additionally, the fact that we know so little about our home in heaven makes it seem both remote and irrelevant to its existence. It really does, because we never seen it. We hear about it. We believe that's where we're going to go. But have you thought for a moment, this is where you're headed to real soon, sooner than you think. Yet we all inwardly yearn for a better world. How many believe you want a better world? How many see this world falling apart? It seems like this world, there's only one tire left and all three are already flat tires. We're yearning for that better world, aren't we? Especially when we experience the unexpected. A bad report from the doctor. The betrayal of a friend. The breakup of an intimate relationship. Or the death of a loved one. At those times we want to believe, we have to believe that there has to be a better place in which you and I could live in. There was a gifted author. His name is Philip Yancey. He captures this writing up here. Let's read this up here. Look, he wrote this. The Bible never belittles human disappointment, but it does add one key word, temporary. What we feel now, we will not always feel. Our disappointment is itself a sign, an aching, a hunger for something better. And faith is, in the end, a kind of homesickness for a home we have never visited, but have never once stopped longing for. Our bodies, our mind, our hope, it lies ahead for something that's better than this world. Can I get an amen? And God has promised that for us. Yes, he has. How many believe that Jesus promised those things for us? He wrote it in his word. He wrote it right here. Look at this in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may what? Be also. So saints, there are many reasons we should be thinking more about our future home, that place called heaven. But the most obvious reason is this, our departure for our future, that future home, is both certain and relatively soon. So let's look at this for a moment. The inevitability of death. Did you know that death will come? How many believe that death will come? Listen, if Jesus don't come back for another 100 years, you and I in this room, we're not going to make that next 100 years. Can I get amen? We know that. That's a fact. That's a fact. And so, this statistic is coming. And look at this. The statistics on death are very impressive. Right up here. One out of every one dies. One out of every one dies. Vegas don't have no odds. They won't put odds on this. They won't. If you're betting that we won't, you will lose. Someone is going to close their eyes one day and it's all over. Can I get amen? But God says in his word time and time again, the results that take place after death. And these are things that sometimes we don't want to either look at, ponder at, and conceive. But they will come. And look what it says right up here in Hebrews. As it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the what? Judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. You know what I'm so blessed for every one of you in here that are believers that love God? Is because we eagerly await for his appearance. And so that lets us know, the hope of God lets us know that when we take our last breath and when we close our eyes here, we will be with him forevermore. But we're going to look at, there's two types of judgments. And aren't you so blessed that you're not on the other side of that judgment? You're not on the other side of that pendulum? Because the unbelievers, whoo, those who have never given their heart to God, those who are not born again, it's a different type of judgment. But for us, did you know, as Christians, we are still going to be judged. Oh, yes. I got some word to back that up. You got to have word to back it up, right? But saints, when death comes, it comes suddenly and often unexpectedly. It does. Let's look at what the word says about this. And then we're going to get into the judgments. Ecclesiastes says, for man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net. Like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Listen, saints, we've seen the horrific things that have taken place in our schools. We've heard of these drive-bys. We heard of people getting sick and then radically die within a month. It's like suddenly, but it happens. And saints, the Old Testament patriarch, Isaac, he didn't know the time of his passing. In the twilight of his life, this is what he confessed. He confessed, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. I am so blessed that God does not let us know that day. Aren't you so blessed? I don't want to know. I hope you don't want to know. I don't want to know. But it will come. That's the bottom line. It will come one day. And we all know that soldiers on a battlefield, they face the prospect of death daily. So do cancer patients who have been told their case is terminal. But have you and I, saints, come to grips with the fact that you are going to die one day, you and I? And at this event, it could be just around the corner. We don't know this. If it's true that God has ordained every day of your life, including the day of your death, every second that passes moves you closer to the grave. Did you know that? That's a great reason to start thinking seriously about your eternal home. And we don't think about it. We don't. We're struggling just to make ends here on this earth. We're struggling with relationships. We're struggling with co-workers. We're struggling with children. We're struggling with marriages. We're struggling with all kinds of things. And yet, does it really matter? Does it really matter? Well, let's look what Jesus said in one of his parables in the book of Luke. Look at this. He went on to say, then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? This guy was blessed here on earth with material things. He had accumulated. You know, I was going through one of my real estate books that I get free. And they're called Million Dollar Homes. And I was glancing through them and I saw these 10, $20 million homes that are in La Jolla and Coronado and Rancho Santa Fe and all these areas. And all these realtors there, these high-end realtors there, and they're selling them for so much, and they're making a whole bunch of commissions on them. But God spoke to me and said, this is all going to go away in one day. No matter who's buying it. One day it's going to go away in one day. And so it says right here in verse 17, and he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? This guy's, he's got it going on, man. He's the Bill Gates of the day. Look at this. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I will store all my crops and my goods. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's the mindset of this world. You know, praise God for our president, make America great and all that. I get that. But you better have a spiritual perspective regarding that. Amen? Yeah, the economy could be great and this and that. But let me just say this. I've been in an economy where it flat out fell through the bottom. Economies come and go. Money comes and goes. But look what this further word of God says. Verse 20, but God said to him, listen, don't ever be called a fool by God. You know, back in the day, we said, what's up, fool? And some of you kind of slip of the tongue still. What's up, fool? Do you know that you're cursing someone? Because when God calls someone a fool, he's headed to hell. Remember that next time you call somebody a fool. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure, look, for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, he's got to stand before God. In other words, he is butt naked before God in heaven. And there's no one there around but him and God. And all the treasures, all the barns he built are back on earth. And he's standing naked before God. And there's nothing he can say. There's no defense lawyer. There's not a defense lawyer to the right or to the left. Did you catch that one? There's nothing like that. And so we need to look at the benefits of being heavenly minded. And let's look at our first point and principle. Focusing on heaven reminds us of the brevity of our earthly life. Saints, life is short. How many believe that life is short? Eternity is long. To illustrate this, let's look at this. I made a dot and a line and an arrow. Look at this. See the little dot? Or it's a square? That's our life. That's it. It comes and goes. It's that fast. Then the line goes into eternity. That goes on forever and forever and forever. And so our life is but a radar. It's a blip on the radar. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But eternity goes on forever and forever and forever. My question is this. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? What does your 401k look like in heaven? What does your pension look like in heaven? What things have you accumulated as a believer that God could write down as, I'm going to apply this and give you an account for this? Because I don't care what you have stored up down here. It's all null and void. You might as well pass it on to someone that's alive here because you're not taking it. How many believe you're not taking what you've earned down here with you? Bible says, naked you came into this world, naked you'll be gone. Look at what James says. Look at what James says. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while time and then it vanishes away. Many of us have precious loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. Their life was completed here and they're gone now. We're left behind here knowing that one day we will end up in that place too. It'll happen. Our life is so fast. We just read, it's a vapor. It's a vapor. It's like a tea kettle. When you see the steam, you see it for about a moment and then it dissipates. It's gone. Look what Peter says right here. Because all flesh is as grass. And I'm not talking about grass that you put in a hookah. Matter of fact, that goes up in smoke too and it's gone. And all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away. That's how fast our life is. It's but, bam, a blink. And so let's look at our second principle right up here. Focusing on heaven prepares us for the certainty of judgment. Oh, I don't want to hear that. What do you mean? Yeah. You know what? That's something that you and I should be looking forward to. What are you talking about? As a believer, we're going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where he's going to distribute the things that you and I have accumulated and stored up in heaven that he will distribute. I'm curious. I'll say, Lord, I want to stand, first of all, I want to see the God who created me face to face. So I'm going to fall at his feet and be in awe of him. Saints, I want you to catch this. Everybody is going to heaven, maybe a popular song, but it's also a horrendous lie. If you think everyone's going to go to heaven just because, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in him. Well, guess what? The Bible says the demons believe too. But they won't repent. That's right. There's religions everywhere. Oh, man, just are you a believer? Yeah, I believe. And nothing has transformed. Nothing has taken place in their life. They're still callous. They still curse. They still drink and do and chew and hang out with those that do. They do all kinds of things that you would say, man, you know, and we're not to judge, but I'll tell you what. You will know them by their fruit. Are they living for the Lord? Do they love God? Are they living for self? Or are they dying to self and they're living for Christ the best way they know how? Well, Jesus talks about that not everyone is going to get in. Can I get an amen? That's right. Yeah, he came to die for the world. Whosoever shall call upon the name, whosoever shall call upon the name shall what? Be saved. But he made it very clear right here in Matthew. Look at this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it. Did you catch that? He said many go and fall into hell. They drop right in. Don't argue with the preacher here. Does your Bible say that? Look at this. The way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Look around. There's a few of us in it. Listen, you go to churches, there's really a few that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of them are just playing church. Hey, yeah, man, I go. Yeah, you know, I got to go. I gotta just go. But Jesus said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. That's not easy. Jesus said it's difficult and it's narrow. And there's a few that find it. Wow. That puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? It did for me when I was doing this study. I was saying, God, I was weeping before God. God, you pulled me out of a life of sin and debauchery. You could have left me there. But he saved me. He saved you. Hallelujah. Tragically, saints, the majority of humanity is on the wrong road that ultimately leads to the wrong destination. From the moment we're born into this world, We are on this road that is headed away from God. Did you know that a child that comes into the world automatically is walking away from God? Why? Because of our sinful nature. It's the way of rebellion against God. The prophet Isaiah wrote this. Look what he wrote here. We are all sheep that have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus had to come and die for all the sins. He had to nail everything from the conception all the way to the very moment of your life. He came and he nailed all that sin to the cross. And all he's saying is, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, I will give you the rest. All he's saying is, come to me by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender all. And we know the word. We know the word that God has echoed for thousands of years, starting from John the Baptist, starting from Jesus, and then the apostles. And the one word is repent, repent, repent. That means make an about face and start walking toward God. Saints, the reason why Jesus painted this narrow road is that most people won't repent and believe in him. Jesus' statement in John refutes all religions in the world. You know why he refutes all religions of the world? Because all the religions believe that they can get to God. And you know what? I just want to further to say this. I believe all religions will take them to God. They will take them to God. Because the majority of them are going to stand before the white throne judgment. And they will be standing before God. And then he's going to cast them into the lake. Why? Because they got tied in to false teaching, false doctrine. Listen, this is what separates this one scripture I'm going to show you. It separates all religions in the world. And so when your Muslim friend says, hey, you know what? I'm going to heaven too. Really? Okay, then refute this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. Jesus is the only way. You can't go through Confucius because he will confuse you. I will never forget when my mother-in-law was still alive, La Lucy, Sister Lucy. We used to pick her up to come to church. Me and Sister Elon would pick her up. And around the corner, there'd be these guys in bow ties selling these bean pies. You know, and they were all had, Allah is this and Allah is that. She rolled down the window and said, Allah, and then you know what the rest was. With the CH. Man, I had to roll that way. I go, Sister, you can't do that. My goodness. See, there is simply no escaping the fact that each one of us, Christians and non-Christians alike, will face God's judgment when we arrive at the end of our lives. That's here on earth. Because the Bible talks about it's a gate. Or judgment. For the non-Christians, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And the result is eternal death. That means it's a death that does not get eradicated. They stay alive eternally in torment. Lord have mercy. Look at Revelation says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for them. If you think you can hide now, wait when he shows up. Look at this. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead and were in it. Death and Hades, that means death and hell. Hell's that temporary place. It's like when someone gets apprehended, they put you in a holding tank waiting for your judgment. Look at this. And Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his what? Works. Look at this. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? Lake of fire. Oh my gosh. Look at this. I need you to get a hold of that for a moment. These people who thought they knew God were cast into the lake of fire. Saints, contrary to what many believe, Christians are not exempt from God's judgment. I hope you know that. At the end of every Christian's life is also a gate or judgment, but it's a different judgment for the one from the non-believer, from the non-Christian that will face this horrific thing up here. This judgment or evaluation is often referred to as the judgment seat of Christ, meaning the Bema seat. This is what Paul emphatically said. Look at this. Paul wrote this down for you and I so that we would have an understanding to this, that we're not judged to be cast into hell as a believer. It's a total different type of judgment. This is why God is saying, store up your treasures up in heaven. Now look at this, what it says in 2 Corinthians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of what? Christ. Say that with me. Judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, so now as believers, this is why this is crucial and critical, how you entreat one another, how you react with one another, how you are called to now to be saints. We are no longer sinners, but saints of God. So we have a different mindset now. We have a different aspect of life. And if the Holy Ghost is living inside of us, then we will be led by the Spirit to do the things that are holy and pure and righteous before Him. Knowing, therefore, the terror of... Oh, man, say that with me. The terror of the Lord. Listen, we're going to be up here trembling, man, because God Almighty is going to be right there on His throne, and we're going to be... There's no one to defend you. And we're not talking about being cast into the lake. He's going to say, listen, I saved you. Now, what have you done for me lately? Did you catch that? He's looking for those, and we're going to look at the scriptures, what He's looking, how we should operate as believers. But look at this. The terror of the Lord, that we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. What does that mean? That means we need to know that God is expecting your life to bear fruit. To bear fruit. He saved you to bear fruit because we were grafted into the vine. He's the vine dresser now. And we are now part of that branch. And now He's looking for fruit from your life. Did you know that God does not waste any, we call it junk? We're not junk. We're precious to God. And He's expecting something from us. Paul declared that in Corinthians. So now, let's look at number three. Focusing on heaven motivates us to live pure lives. How many want to live a pure life before God? You know the only way you can live a pure life? It's called obey God. Obey God. See, the blood has cleansed us from eternal sin. But living this life here on earth, God is looking for one thing, that we would now learn to obey Him. How many of you could recall prior to your salvation that you were rebels without a cause? You did not obey your parents. You definitely did not obey your school teachers. Man, I looked for every moment to ditch class. Man, I just wanted to go hang out and party. I would look for some little weakling to do my homework. Come on, that's how we were. Oh, you didn't roll like, oh, okay, it was just me. Come on, we all try to connive and we all try to slither through life before we got saved and how the life we used to live. And then Jesus comes and saves you, sanctifies you, sets you apart. He gives you a new nature. He gives you a new mind. He gives you a power from above where now we have no excuse. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, there's a day coming when every Christian's clothing or actions will be placed under the glare of God's judgment. And He will reveal all the imperfections. That day is the day of Christ who returns, in which each man's work will be evident. For the day will show it. Listen, saints, Christians' clothing or actions will be placed under that glare and reveal the imperfections. That day is the day of when Christ will become and the Word of God right here will confirm. Each one's work in 1 Corinthians 3:13, each one's work will become clear for the day. You know what the capital D means? That means the day of the Lord when Jesus comes. That day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Wow. It's a little quiet in here. You can hear a pin drop in here now. You can even hear a church mouse in here. Every one of us, you and I, are going to stand before God, and he's going to examine our work. No, he's not going to look at your job that you've been on for 50 years here on earth. It starts from the day you got saved to the day he calls you home. What have you done for him? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing to better someone's life? What are you doing to bring someone out of the fire into his marvelous light? What are you doing to minister to those that are in the hospital, those who need a healing, those who you would take time out to go pray for? God is looking for those who has a heart after his. And we're going to be judged on that alone. Because there's nothing that we can say, well, look, I got all these accolades, God. I got all these awards. I'm the best employee on my job. It don't mean nothing to him. I was a role model in school. Don't mean nothing to him. Everything will be revealed by the fire. Everything. Everything. So, now that we have a perspective that there's two types of judgments, and one is to everlasting, eternal, basically damnation for the unbeliever, and then there's the bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. So now, let's change and move on to our focus on the rewards. Yes, and this is not a Staples reward or a Walmart reward and something that you have a coupon on your email and it has an expiration date. No, these go on eternity. Can I get an amen? So let's focus this. Let's focus on this. Let's focus on our heavenly rewards. Now, many of you probably never heard of this crown. But let me tell you, these crowns are significant to God. Because if he gives you this crown, listen, here's where your mindset has to change. Is that when we are there with him in his presence and in heaven, forget about where you live right now. Some of you live in Chula Vista. Some of you South San Diego. Some of you Paradise Hills. Some of you National City. You live somewhere geologically here on earth. That's going to be removed from us. We're going to be now in the eternal home. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different kind of way of life up there. And so have you ever heard of this? The imperishable crown? The imperishable crown. When I was doing this study, I said, oh God, help me obtain these things, God. Strengthen me. Because what we receive up there goes on for eternity. This is our spiritual bank account right here. This is what's going to matter to God. This is what's going to last forever. That's number one, the imperishable crown. Look at this. Do you not know that those who run a race all run well? This is 1 Corinthians 9:24. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, disciplined in all things. Now they do not, look at this, they do it to obtain a what? A perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. It's in the word. There's an imperishable crown. Something that'll go on forever and forever and forever. Are you starting to get the perspective of this? This is something that we don't think about, do we? This is not day to day. Man, I got my bills tomorrow. It's the first. A crown? What crown? We're not promised tomorrow. Can I get amen? The people in Indonesia 4 days ago got hit with the 7.5 earthquake and the tsunami came and washed away the whole city. Did you see that on the news? They didn't wake up that morning thinking that their life was going to be gone. Gone. This is 3 days ago, 4 days ago. I saw the footage and I go, Lord have mercy. These were waves that were about 15 feet high and they just came and swept that whole coastline away. My question is, are you laying up an imperishable crown? Are you running the race well? Are you moving with the heartbeat of God? Do you hear his heartbeat? Is God's heartbeat your heartbeat? And is your heartbeat God's heartbeat? That's the key. Because it's all going to be taken away. This place is going to be taken away from us in one day. Look at this. In Matthew. Matthew says this. Jesus says that all things on earth are subject to decay and will perish. Jesus urges us to store up treasures in heaven. Why? Where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. They can't do that in heaven, but they can do that in your pad. You ever had your house broken into? How about your car? I remember my first apartment in National City. I was only 19. Came home from work. It was about maybe 4:30. Front door wide open. Everything gone. Everything gone. Went through everything. Clothes. Just ransacked the place. I mean, I'll tell you, that's the most horrible feeling when you've been violated like that. You come home and everything's gone that you've... The little personal items that you have are gone. Jesus said that will not happen in heaven. You can't get no thieves up there. They have no plane to get there. They have no rocket ship to get up there. There's nothing that will get them there. Can I get amen? These things on earth are temporal. We need to have a paradigm change. We need to leave this place. No, oh God, there are things that I can achieve as I anticipate your return. That, Lord, that you would find me, you would find yourself worthy of receiving these things that God has laid up for us to achieve. And it's not by works of righteousness. We cannot obtain good works. But your faith and your salvation causes you to have now good works. Can I get amen? Amen? It comes automatically when you get saved. Now I can do God's good works. Why? Because prior to that, I was never empowered. I didn't have a mind for God. But salvation now enables you to now do those things that God has called you to do. Let's look at this. The second crown, the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. Listen, when you get to heaven, God said he's going to wipe away every tear. You better rejoice knowing that man, he wrote your name in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. Can I get amen? That's right. Look what it says here. For what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Listen, you're going to receive a crown of rejoicing is because your heart cannot wait for him to come. Amen. And for those that are looking for him, he's bringing a crown of rejoicing. Why? Because we've been waiting for him. But if we are perpendicular, if we're just looking at things on this earth and just going through and woe is me and man, I can't wait for that other paycheck to come and all this, and you're not even looking for his return, how can he give you something you're not even looking for? See, the word will back up itself all by itself. This is God's word. It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. I want that crown of rejoicing. Every day I wake up, God, are you coming for me today? I can't speak for you because guess what? No one can hold on to your pant leg to go with you. Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. My goodness. Saints, the Apostle Paul, he told us in Philippians, he told us this, rejoice always in the Lord, for all the bountiful blessings our gracious God has showered upon us. Rejoice. Be thankful for your life. Can I get amen? Be thankful for the little that you have. Be thankful for the plentiful that you have. Be thankful for the family you have. Be thankful that if maybe you're just all by yourself now. Be thankful. You know why? Because soon he will come for you. He will come for you. You're not alone. He doesn't leave us orphans. Can I get amen? And so as Christians, we have more in this life to rejoice about everyone else. Be rejoicing that God has saved us. And rejoice when someone else gets saved. Can I get amen? Because they will remove themselves of a life of despair and go into a life of having hope. Let's look at the next crown, the crown of righteousness. Okay, how many so far have heard of the first two crowns? We rarely talk about it, huh? Well, this is the third crown. You know, when this is all said and done this morning, I pray that God will etch in your spirit, God, I want all five crowns. Because everything I obtain down here is not coming with me. So now, God, you're giving me an opportunity to obtain something up there. The crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Look what the word says right up here. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of what? Righteousness. Timothy. He understood. He knew that Paul, when Timothy was being written, Paul was coming to the end of his life. Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. And then he wrote, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved his what? Appearing. Are you looking for him? Do you want him to come? Do you long to be in his presence face to face? This is what we need to understand. This is the mindset that we have to have. Is that there's laid up a crown of righteousness. Saints, we inherit this crown through the righteousness of Christ, which is what gives us a right to it. And without it, which cannot be obtained other than through Christ. Because it is obtained and possessed in a righteous way and not by force and deceit as earthly crowns sometimes are, it is an everlasting crown promised to all who love the Lord and eagerly await for his return. This crown is not for those who depend on their own sense of righteousness, of their own works. Such an attitude, saints, breeds only arrogance and pride, not a longing, not a fervent desire to be with the Lord. You can't do, oh, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? No. Oh, God. I don't deserve what you laid out for me. But I'm so thankful to receive what you have for me. And I will receive it with joy. I'll receive it with joy. The crown of glory. The crown of glory. Hallelujah. These are spiritual blessings that you and I cannot see here on earth. We don't see these things. And yet, our life, as I shared earlier, is but a blip. And we go into eternity. And these are the things that are going to mean. This is what's cashing in for you. A crown of glory. Look at this. Look what 1 Peter says. I got every word. I got God's word to back up all these crowns. Can I get amen? Amen. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of what? Glory. That does not fade away. A crown of glory. I'm looking for that day. This body's failing me. This body can only go for so long, and then it's done. It goes back to the dust. It goes back to the dust. Dust it came from, dust it will go back to. But these things go on for eternity. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Aren't you so blessed that these things will not fade away? These are permanently given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You will rule and reign with him. You will fellowship with him. You'll be in his presence. We won't need the natural sun anymore. His glory will light up the heavens. Hallelujah. You think when you first got the Holy Ghost, remember when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, it was like joy unspeakable. Your corners of your mouth were pinned to your ears. You know what? That was just a half a teaspoon of his glory that he gave you. If he were to give you all of his glory, we would be consumed, like he told Moses. He says, don't even look at me. Turn when I walk past you, because you will be consumed. God has given us just a fraction of his presence, because this flesh cannot glory in his presence. He lets us feel his presence through the Spirit. But this flesh cannot contain his glory. And so, saints, though Peter's addressing the elders, we must also remember that the crown will be awarded to all those who long or love his appearing. The word glory is an interesting word, saints, referring to the very nature of God and his actions. It entails his great splendor and his brightness. You know who recalls this? Remember? Stephen. He was one of the apostles. Remember that? Or one of the disciples. What happened to Stephen? That's right. He got stoned to death. And he wasn't smoking anything. He didn't get stoned that way. He actually, there was a real rock concert. They took him to the front of the city. And they picked up stones and they pelted him. That's how he was stoned. He was stoned with rocks. But guess what happened? That as before he left, it's found in the book of Acts. Look at this. But he being filled of the Holy Ghost, this is why I'm telling you, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when Jesus comes, hallelujah, he's looking for those that have his spirit. Why? Because he wants to reveal his glory to you. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. This is at the point of death. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Let me just say this, for those of you that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, when your number is up, you're going to see God standing right there to receive you unto glory. Because the Word of God confirms that. This man was about ready to get knocked out and die. And he saw God. God allowed him to see it. And I truly believe God didn't allow him to have the sting of death. Hallelujah. He didn't suffer. We don't read anywhere in Scripture where he suffered. Can I get an amen? He didn't suffer. And so, the crown of glory, the glory of God. We're going to look at our last crown and then we'll close. The crown of life. The crown of life. Oh, yeah. Crown of life. I'm going to ask real quick, who knows where the crown of life is found? What book, chapter, and verse? That lets us know. We're not looking for the heavenlies. and lets us know we're operating here in the natural, which is understandable. But I hope you know that from this day on, you will look at those five crowns that we talked about to obtain them by faith. Can I get amen? Because God has them all for you and I, which is going to go on to eternity. But it's found right here in Revelation. Do not fear of any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulations for days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Can you honestly say you'll be faithful unto God all the way to the very end? All the way till you take your last breath. And then you go on into glory. Huh? Because that's what he has laid up for us. The crown of life. The crown of life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus said that he has come to give us life. Saints, this crown is for all believers, but especially dear to those who endure sufferings, who bravely confront persecution for Jesus, even to the point of death. In the scripture, the word of life is often used to show a relationship that is right with God. It was Jesus who said this: I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it what? More abundantly. More abundantly. And so, we could have went on and on and on with this study regarding the things to obtain all these rewards. I'm going to share one scripture here. And I'm praying that you will use the Word of God so that you can use it as ammunition to sow in the people's lives. To sow from this moment on. If you haven't obtained for those things that are heavenly, that are precious, that are eternal, guess what? He's given us an opportunity to start today. Can I get amen? Here are the keys. The key to receiving your rewards. It's found in the Word of God. Don't take my word. Mankind will fail you. Did you know that? I don't care what preacher's behind the pulpit. He can fail you. But you look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The Word of God will not fail you. Can I get amen? Amen. So now look at this. I need you to write this down. For those of you that got notes, the scriptures are there already for you to reflect. To go back to 1 Corinthians 3 and 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe. In other words, both of them were ministers. As the Lord gave to each one. Then Paul wrote down, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Okay, you need to understand, when you're operating in the kingdom of God, some of you will go and plant the word of God in someone's life. You're going there to edify them, to build them up. Then someone will come alongside and water it and saying, God loves you. Come on, be encouraged. Let me pray for you. And it works hand in hand. But look at this as we go on. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own what? Reward. Don't think that when you go and minister to souls, it's all in vain. Nuh-uh, God writes everything down. He's building up an account for you. Did you catch that? Look at this. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is why God is looking for you and I to go reach the lost, to plant the word, to go water the word, and then God will give the increase. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. What do you mean God's building? This temple, this earthly temple, this temporary temple, this tent that we talked about. God is using it. He's using you. He's using me for His glory. Somebody getting something out of this morning? Look at this. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it. But let each one take heed on how he builds it. Don't go in there with preconceived ideas. You just walk in faith. Lord, bless this soul. Oh, God, Lord, heal this soul. You go and do what God's calling you to do, and He's adding it to your account all by itself. That's the word. He's going to reward you for all those things. Man, I'm so blessed that God is looking out for me. Is He looking out for you? Look at verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. Notice capital D, that's when we stand before Jesus. That's the day of the Lord. That's why it's capital in your book. It's the day when we stand right before Him. Look at this. That day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Did you have an agenda? Was it a good agenda? Was it a clear agenda? Or were you there? Oh, yeah, go pray. I was asked to go pray. Or did you go pray, oh God, heal this person, God. Help this person, God. It's all about the attitude of the heart. Can I get an amen? It's a heart issue here. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for a heart issue. Is your heart in the right place? Is it there for the right reasons? Hallelujah. Now, how many would love to have gold and silver? All these five crowns. Okay, I only saw one hand go up. Okay, well, I'll just say, I want all of them. How many want these precious, precious crowns that God has? Huh? Okay. So everything you do for Christ, you're going to go through the fire. It's going to go through the fire. And let me just say this. For some of us, gold and silver and bronze and everything that we just talked about will be given to that individual. But some are going to receive things that are like, wow. Before I close out, I know Brother G loves to share little stories up here when he prays for tithes and offerings. A story just came to mind right now. The scene takes place in heaven, and everyone's standing before the bema seat of Christ. So there's a long line. And guess what? When you're up in heaven, you don't have to worry about your knees and your back. Don't have to worry about clocks. Don't have to worry about, man, I'm starving right now. Can we get this going? Or, you know, man, I'm telling you, you're going to be happy you're there. So there was this one little old lady. And God was saying, you have been so faithful. I'm going to give you this mansion over here. I'm going to give you these treasures over here. I've got the five crowns laid up for you. You've been obedient. You've been praying for the lost. You've been doing all the right things that I've called you to do. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And she walked away so blessed. But before she walked away, there was a young lad waiting. He was next in line. And he was talking to the people behind him. Well, man, you ought to see what I did for God. I did all kinds of things for God. Man, if you think she got a lot, wait till you see my goods. Well, he stands before the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, I saw your works, and this is what I have for you. He goes, where is it? Where's the mansions, and where's the heavens, and where's the treasure? He goes, it's right here. He gave him a Schwinn 10-speed. A bicycle. That's it, Lord? Yeah. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. So he got on his bike and he scooted on Hallelujah Lane. The next day, the person that was behind him saw him on the corner. Say, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You look like you were upset when that's all you got. He says, I'm happy today. He goes, why are you so happy? He goes, see that guy over there? And they both look. Yeah, we see him. Well, he got a skateboard. And that's my pastor. Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. You pray for your pastor, amen? You pray for your pastor. I want the same rewards you all get. Can I get amen? I just want to be faithful in the things he has given me. Just be faithful. Why? Because this is what the last word on this says in verse 14. Look at this. If anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved as yet through the fire. So in other words, some may get in by the smoke that they're trailing behind them. Did you catch that? There's some folks, they're not, you know, they got saved, but the heavenly things don't matter to them because they're focused on the earthly, that are temporal. But God has given us a different perspective, amen? Amen. God is saying, pursue these things. We just saw that we plant and we water, but God gives the increase. Don't rely on your flesh. Don't rely on your own strength. Rely on the power of God. Can I get amen? Yeah. That's who empowers you. That's who strengthens you. That's what motivates us. And then his word promises that we will have eternity. Man, aren't you so blessed to know that God is for you, not against you? And he will save us from the junk that's in your trunk. And we still have junk in the trunk. Ain't nobody arrived. Ain't no one arrived. We're still working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Can I get an amen? Ain't nobody here said, yeah, you know, I got it down. Yeah, if that's your thought, yeah, you're headed down. Because that's pride now. But I close with these. Number one, is it your desire to see Jesus face to face? We just heard the majority of these crowns is to look for him, to see him face to face. What's your desire, saints? Is your desire to just, man, I just need that paycheck next week. Man, I still dip in that sin here and there. Or is it to see God face to face? Huh? Number two, when Jesus comes back, will you have a heart of rejoicing to see him, or will you be ashamed of his appearing? Whatever's done in the dark will be exposed to the light. And guess what? I've heard it said like this: when you're standing at the Bema seat of Christ, you think a projector this size is the whole heavens knows what is done in the dark, and it will be proclaimed up there, and you will have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. It'll all be exposed. Do things in the right reason, saints. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Have a pure heart. Have the right motive. Look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Number three, have you stored up treasure in heaven that will last forever? Huh? Have you? And number four, is your treasure gold, silver, bronze, or hay, wood, and stubble? You know why he mentions hay, wood, and stubble? We just read it. Because when it all goes through the fire, the only thing that lasts are the precious metals. They can't be consumed. But the way the hay, the wood, and the stubble can be burned up and disintegrated, and it'll all be gone. And so, saints, we are challenged this day. We are challenged this day to store up those treasures in heaven. Because God has the eternal rewards laid up for you and I. And all he's saying is just be faithful unto me, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he will do the rest. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, thank you, God, for giving us an eternal perspective this morning. Lord, that the things that we just read are only obtainable through you, Jesus. And Lord, the things we have here are so temporal, and they fade away. But what you have given us through the eternal perspective will last forever and forever and forever. So God, I pray, Lord, that we would receive this message by faith, that we can store up those treasures, God. Store them up in heaven where we know, Lord, they're safe and secure and no one could tap into them, God. So, Lord, give us the desire. Give us the ongoing efforts, oh God, to serve in your kingdom in faith. And it's not that we have to do. It's because we want to do. Because we want to do this. And so, God, we love you, God, and we praise you. And I'm praying for someone that maybe is going to start accounting these precious things today. Someone maybe that's never given their heart to you, God. Lord, you said in your word, the last will be first and the first will be last. It don't matter when we get saved. It's the day that when we do get saved, you start now accounting. You start accounting it to our best interest. And so for those right now who've never given their heart to Jesus, pray this simple prayer. Watch God do the miraculous in your life. I pray for Brother Sam that was here on Wednesday. A young man, 21 years old, that you'd give him a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. Lord, I pray for that young man who Brother Eric brought Wednesday. He's searching for you, God. I pray for those right now that are listening to this message, those right now that have never given their heart to Jesus, that you would do a miraculous thing in their life, in their heart. Pray this simple prayer by faith and allow God to do the miracle in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Give them a shout of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.